This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Back in March of 2020, most all of you recall that was the month that the world shut down for about 2 years due to the coronavirus, known as COVID, and it impacted everyone in the world in so many different ways. Just as that was beginning, I had an episode, number 551, in which I was examining at least a few magicians, talking with them to see what they kind of expected was going to be happening at the time and how their business was being impacted and what they thought they were going to be doing during that time that might take a few weeks or months at the time that we thought. Well, one of the people I spoke with back then was Fred and Bobby Becker in talking about cruise ships. Well, we are now revisiting with them because they did do some things during the time that we did have lockdown, and it was pretty choppy waters certainly back then. And then slowly cruising started to get back into the swing of things here. And it's just gone through a different time, I guess, over the last few years as we've gotten our sea legs, I guess, or as a cruise industry has gotten its sea legs back then again. As I said from the title of this episode of Choppy Waters, there are a lot of things that have gone on. Anyhow, so I recently went back to visit with Fred and Bobby when I was in the Dallas area where they now reside to find out what they had done during that time and kind of what they're up to now and what their vision forward is going to be. They give a lot of advice about several things. One is if you are interested in doing cruise ships, what the status of the industry is right now and how profitable it might be for you to take a look at this being an alternate stream of revenue, something that you might want to consider. He does have a website, which is called gigsonships.org, and there he is able to do different things now than he did before because of the way technology has moved forward. We talk a little bit about that then as well. But he does give some good advice as to those who may be considering wanting to go work on cruise ships. And Bobby has a perspective from the distaff side in which she is now looking at her career in her 50s and what the audience may be thinking and if she is wanting to continue doing what she's done before or is she going to be choosing something different in a different path for the next few years and how the audiences might view a, quote, older woman as opposed to someone in their 20s, someone who is much younger. Anyhow, all that and more is going to be discussed here. It's a pretty full episode. We've got a lot to talk about over here. And I do thank them so much for their time to sit down and to chat about this. So please welcome my guests this week, Mr. Fred and Bobby Becker, here on The Magic Word. Some years ago, I sat in this very place in the home here with Fred and Bobby Becker, and we were talking about what was happening just before COVID had broken out. Actually, I think it happened on the day that COVID actually did break out on March the 15th, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the reason I wanted to circle back here and spend more time with them is because they were just part of another podcast I had with two or three other people on that particular episode. But I promise we need to get back together to talk more exclusively about cruise ships and what the situation is during COVID was, I guess, but more importantly, what it's like then right now and going forward. And there's nobody better that I know to talk with who has actually written the book about that and teaches a class on working cruise ships. And that's Fred Becker. Hey there, Fred.
Hi, Scott.
And Bobby, hello.
Hello.
So glad to get back in your home.
I'm just hoping there's not a new natural disaster now that you're back here.
Oh, so yeah, I am the harbinger of doom.
That's
I guess
good. Not good.
I hope not. I hope everything is going to be well, and we're not going to return.
We're on the other side,
zombie land. Yeah. Yeah, when we had first come, or I talked about this, and again, sitting in this very seat and looking at the two of you with a beautiful background over here in your home in McKinney, Texas. It was on March the 15th, which I had come to Texas or Dallas rather, because my son was getting treatment for leukemia.
Yeah,
and
I remember
getting
that
stem cell treatment. And right now everything is 100% better. He's all well and good. Thank you.
Yes, I've followed that story. He's doing quite well now.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'm glad. I appreciate your friendship and for doing that. And I've been following you. We've been talking a little bit during the last few years, although that since things have picked back up, you've been back out and at it on some ships. But I don't want to dwell too long and too much just on the what had happened prior to where we are currently. But again, when we were here, we didn't think, but it was going to be a few weeks to a few months. I mean, as I recall, you had daughters, I guess, who were coming back from school at the time or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Both daughters were home for spring break, essentially, and then didn't return.
Yeah. Planning to head right back.
A lot of people, that happened.
Yeah. And then, nope. They were told, don't come back. And had to finish their schooling, basically, on computer classes.
Hmm.
Telecommunication,
just on Zoom, I guess.
Yeah, just on TV.
Which was a difficult way to actually finish school.
I felt fortunate, though, that we had purchased this house in December of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, you know, the world shut down in March. And so we were 4 months
into
this new home.
Yeah, I remember last time we were still in boxes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I think I'm fortunate for that. I'm fortunate that I felt the calling to move. And that we got this house because it's we love the neighborhood. We love the house. It was a great room. Like our daughter would come into this. We're sitting now in our sunroom. People can't see, but our daughter would come into the sunroom, our college age daughter at the time.
As opposed to your son going to your daughter room.
And then, yeah, exactly. And she would kind of shut the doors in the sunroom and just sort of, study in here. Our other daughter was at a boarding school in Florida. She came home and then had to finish her stuff online as well. Mm-hmm. So it was we all lived through an interesting period of time.
Well, during that time, as I recall also, there was a Zoom show because the cruise ship she worked with was doing something for their customers in order to keep them involved and wanting them to come back once it's all over or something like that.
Yeah. So this was actually really nice. So Bobby and I work pretty much the luxury cruise market. And for our particular companies that we work for, they wanted to make sure that they have a very loyal client base, and they
wanted to keep a touchstone to those people, not just
No, makes sense.
Yeah, just like sort of be like, okay, we'll talk again when the pandemic is over,
right?
You know,
and not only do they
plus they didn't know how long it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was going to be 6 months or 6 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, and they're not just They don't call them passengers, they call them guests on board the ship.
Like Disney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a very family feeling. So they wanted to really, really keep in touch and make sure that they were still feeling like a part of that family. And not only do they cruise on board the ship, but they tend to know the personnel on board really, really well, including the entertainers. So they reached out to us and asked us if we could put together a little something, maybe do a magic trick. And
Bobby sang.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Bobby sang, invite them into our home, let them sort of see what we were doing during our shutdown.
We were kind of early in the invite. After us, I saw a lot of really cool things, like a cruise director who lives in the UK who was on his, sort of acreage and was sort of gardening. And it was just really cool to be like, oh, they just invited everybody into there. Now, when I sail with that cruise director, I go, oh, I know he has this beautiful flower garden and all that. You know, of course, obviously, as I mentioned, we had just purchased the home, so we weren't going to bring people in. But, now I would love to bring people in and show them my sunroom and all my plants.
Here are all our boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now our boxes are unboxed. And so.
Well, during that time, I know it was difficult. And before we started the recording over here, we were talking a little about the importance of putting money aside because you never know when there's going to be a rainy day. In that case, it was a rainy 2 years.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because at the time, we were fortunate because I've always planned ahead and really, I think thought about, I've always planned ahead for a rainy day. I really didn't plan ahead for a rainy year. That was a bit shocking. But,
well, I think, everybody handled the pandemic in a different way. I would say we were fortunate being in Texas that we really only had 2 full months of sort of being locked in. And then everything kind of opened back up to some extent. Mm. And so we decided to make that time productive. And while we had always been sort of financially savvy to some extent, our knowledge of investments wasn't to the level that it became. We really would sit down daily.
You had more time to think about it.
Yeah, we sat down every day and read, you know, about finances and investments. And honestly, we did really well financially through the pandemic. So we were fortunate compared to others. But the essential topic that we were discussing before this was a lesson for all entertainers, specifically with magicians. They live paycheck to paycheck and believing that there will always be another job that they can get if they need more money. I shouldn't generalize, not everybody does this, but by and large, because we watched other friends, I mean, I saw other people that were selling their clothing to try to pay their bills.
Yeah.
Gowns, you know, singer friends that I have that were selling gowns and stuff to try to, you know, pay their bills and on Poshmark and these websites.
Right.
And, you know, so it was I think both of us sort of realized at the time that it's a topic that's not really discussed in the magic community the way that maybe we think it should be. You know, magic conventions, we were talking about always do, here's this trick, and there's somebody who lectures on how to do this trick, or somebody who lectures on how to, you know, act or structure your show. There's all these great, valuable topics for the show construction. But there's really not a lot of information out there provided to magicians about investments and how that should be a major part of you planning, you know, your show. It should also be, I'm also planning for my future, because as independent gig workers, we have, you know, a lot of things we have to know. Taxes, insurance, you know, all those things we were kind of discussing off air, but
right.
Still, it's very important. And I think magic conventions would do magicians a great service by providing experts in that field to do talks.
We do have professionals that do talk to us about tricks, but we don't have professionals talking to us about marketing and business.
Right.
Because for the most part, conventions are directed at hobbyists and amateurs and people who just enjoy doing magic, and it's not for professionals.
Right.
And I say for the most part. I mean, you look at Magic Live, there are a lot of professionals who attend that, and that might be a place where you could bring in somebody. And occasionally Stan Allen does bring in some people like that then, too.
Those have been, for me, those have been some of my favorite experiences at Magic Live have been sort of the people that lecture in the general session or whatever about the business side of it, the business aspect, and things that you don't always think about. You know, I love all of that stuff. And I know like Brad Ross does the It Factor thing, which is focused more on marketing and some of that. But I mean, I really think that magicians would do themselves a great service by making sure that, you know, 20% of their time is spent on at least learning investments and plotting and planning your future and having that rainy day fund, that rainy 2-year fund.
Yeah. Well, so, really, I've said it before, the greatest magic is the miracle of compound interest.
Yeah.
And really, the earlier you start on that, the better off you're going to be. So, and really, it doesn't matter if you're a professional magician or a hobbyist, if you learn that lesson early, the better off you're going
to
be.
Because you can put more money in, and the more years you'll have for that interest to compound.
To grow, yeah.
And to continue to grow. And
it's not about saving, it's about growing.
It's about growing. That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because and it's something that if you have to dip into for rainy years like that or whatever, you might have that available.
Yeah.
But the earlier you get started, the more you're going to be having that opportunity. And so it's not unreasonable to try to put away 20%, or actually it might be in some cases when you're just getting $150 for a birthday party. Well, there's much more than that now, but whatever you're getting,
you can put away, you know,
whatever you put away some portion of that and to think about your future, because at some point you're going to be in your 70s or 80s and hopefully 90s and 100s, and you don't want to be working.
Yeah, and it gives
unless you want to.
It gives you freedom. You know, we were talking about sort of another thing we were chatting about a little bit before we hit record, you know, about transitioning it later in your life and how being a performer at a certain age, you know, you have one act, and then you may transition to make that act more appropriate as you age. And I think that in order to have the freedom to do some of the things that Fred and I have been discussing as we get closer to potential retirement, whatever retirement looks like. I'm not sure he will ever fully retire, but you know, you want to be able to do some of those things that are just nurture your creative outlet. And I think because we are financially stable, it will afford Fred more opportunity to do
things because you want to do them.
Because he wants to do them, not because he has to.
You have to go out and do it.
Artistically rather than financially. Yeah.
So that's my number one tip for the young magicians, especially.
That's a good tip. It's very important then as well. I know that like Chip Romero has pretty much retired from cruising. He's saying, I feel like at this point in my life that cruise ships are not looking for people my age or even my age. I'm even older than Chip. Is that pretty much true that they do look to younger people?
Okay, so that's a great topic. I think there's a strong appetite in the cruise industry for young people. However,
depending on the cruise line, I would say
that's fair. Yeah. However, I think there's in show business in general, there's an appeal for youth. However, young people don't necessarily have the chops required, the amount of show required that a cruise line needs.
You think that they're looking still for illusionists, or do they want comedians who are in one? Or?
It's the amount of time and the amount of quality time. Where I work, I need 90 minutes of material, minimum. And it's got to be, so here.
You're not doing a 90-minute show, but you're saying on total 90 minutes.
Two 45-minute shows.
So like an A, B, and C show, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I need two strong openers and two strong closers.
Right.
And, you know, 40 minutes in between those approximately. So, you know, here's the truth about the cruise industry, why it's tough and why it's different than maybe anything else. Every show that you do is graded, which is different than maybe any other type of performance where you've got the audience gets a report card that they fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's sometimes it's general. How did you enjoy the entertainment? Sometimes it's about each individual act. How did you like Scott Wells?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have room to write a report if they want to. But they'll have a scale on which to
grade you.
And you have to maintain a certain level of literal excellence in order to maintain your job. Mm. And if you slip below that number, you probably won't get hired back.
Mm.
And that's difficult to keep working under those circumstances. And I think
you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah. And really that's true. And I don't know any other type of performance where you're under that kind of scrutiny. So the fact is your material has to hit, and it has to hit consistently, and it has to be pleasing enough because in my course, Rory Johnston said, you know, one pour can wipe out 10 excellences in your score, which is true. So it'll negate 10 great
ones,
comments,
yeah.
One bad one. So you can't risk having that one bad one. You just can't. You have to structure your show so that that doesn't happen. Because I know some great acts, some just wonderful acts that just don't work that well on a cruise ship because they're going to offend somebody and they're going to get a bad comment. And
so are you constantly tweaking your show on the fly? Or when you get back,
I think, honestly, we have a proven show. So one thing that can be scary, it's different when you have a venue sort of like, you know, Magic Island.
Yeah.
Where you can test out new material.
Yeah. That's
my
biggest challenge is I don't have a laboratory anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. The hard thing for us is moving a new piece in. You know, look, I'm sick and tired of singing Let It Go from Frozen. Like, if I never sang that song again, I mean, it would be a miracle from God. But we tried to take it out and we added in a different song with some different magic for a big closer, and it just wouldn't work. And so we had to put it back in. You know, sometimes it's like, if we performed our show for magicians, mm-hmm. they'd be like, what the heck are they doing? Yeah. But we're not performing for magicians. We're performing for people for all over the world, all different demographics. And our goal is 45 minutes twice a week to entertain them, make them laugh. And in addition to that 45 twice a week, we are out and about meeting people on the ship, making friends, mm-hmm. Getting to know folks. And I don't want, you know, this, we talk about this in Gigs on Ships, and it comes off sort of.
And Gigs on Ship is, by the way, your.
Yeah, yeah, is our course.
Gigs on Ships is our course. But we talk about it a little bit. Don't do anything phony, because people can see through that. Mm-hmm. So I would never tell somebody who it's contrary to their personality, be out and about, be social, just because it's going to get you better reviews. You know, never. I don't think you should be like that on ships.
No.
Oh, let's do this because it'll get me better reviews. We're out and about and social because that's the... That's us.
Yeah.
And that's the market that we work in. The cruise lines that we work are small crowds, you know, 600 people to 1,000 people on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. And so you see the same people over and over again. It's kind of our personality. We love meeting people. So we use our strengths to go out, meet people, talk on the ship. And the next thing we know, we have an army of people coming to our show that are on our side already because they know us. You know, we've had dinner with them. And sure. So they're sort of rooting for you.
They're not just guests, they're friends.
Yeah. And that makes it completely a different animal, again, as Fred
they'll
said,
actually book
than
cruises
other jobs
they know we're going to be on.
That's great.
And they've seen our show already, which is weird to us. But
And I've joked with the booker that I should get a commission for all the cruises I've sold.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we love padding in, sort of saying, okay, here's our cruise itinerary. Who's going to book a cruise with us? You know, that's always a lot of fun knowing that we have friends who've booked the cruise. Friends, quote unquote, they're our friends now, but we met them on a cruise ship. And they'll keep cruising because they know we're going to be there. That's fun.
So let me circle back to two points here. We were talking about young people. I see in the future, and that's why we have Gigs on Ships, the course, is to sort of train people for this job.
You said, I see into the future.
I see into the future. Well, so young people, a lot of people are doing magic online. Mm-hmm. And they do, which looks great, but they're doing, say, Instagram magic. And once it's online, it's done. And they're not doing it again. So it doesn't develop past that point, right? I'm a big believer in flight time. You got to put a lot of time on a trick. That's how you build up your
chops. You say you are a big believer.
Yeah. And that's how you really work a trick. That's how mm-hmm. you really get the timing, the flow of it.
Sure.
You really internalize that trick. You can do a great one for the camera and then put it away. And it looks fabulous and it's frozen in time and it's done and you never really have to do it again. And it was useful in that time. And that's how a lot of young people use their magic.
Well, not just young people. I was thinking, for an example, like when you were talking about one thing and then going on to something else, about when Doug Henning had performed a zigzag and everybody thought, this is amazing. But then it's like, what else have you got for me?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right. yeah.
once you've gotten that, they've seen that, then you got to do...
Television eats up a lot of...
Eats yeah. up yeah. a lot of intellectual property. Yeah.
But so what happens, though, is then you get a job on the cruise ship and none of that material now is polished and ready for repetition in front mm-hmm. of a live audience. Mm-hmm. So some of the young people that have been put on a ship, they've got a really strong 20 minutes, but now you still have all this other time to fill. And
but are they looking? They being the cruise ships looking for illusionists, or looking for people to do things in between?
Circling, you said you were going to circle back, and I maybe you're going to talk about this, but. They often want young acts because they're the new hip thing.
Right. Yeah.
Those new hip things often fail because, as Fred said, they don't have the flight time. So if you are a young performer, you may have an advantage to be able to get the job because you're youth, you're hip, you fit whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but
they,
you
they
have
want you.
To, they
yeah.
want you. So you may be able to get your foot in the door a little easier than, say, an older performer. However, you have to have at a minimum to 45-minute strong shows. Mm-hmm. And you also, some of these guys that are doing a lot of like tech magic, you know, that requires a lot of tech.
Yes.
That needs to be able to transfer over to the ship, and not every ship will have the technical specs
That's
you might need or enough rehearsal time, because you're going to be lucky to get possibly an hour rehearsal. And so if you can't get your specs, you know, working in that hour, you are now a difficult performer to work with, even if you're not. Even you could be the nicest person in the world, and the stage manager may love you, but they're going to say, it took 3 hours to get this set up. Mm-hmm. And so these are, you know, these are the things that we try to address in Gigs on Ships to help students. But to bottom line answer your question, I think they want youth. It doesn't always work out for them, and they will still come back to the, you know, reliable
entertainers. Which is why I'm still working.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that they are actually asking for you.
Yeah, because they know I can cover the time, mm-hmm. and I've got a lot of...
We have a lot of material that, you know, we can
plug and play.
We have to pack it all into our suitcases. You've asked a couple of times, and we keep not answering it. At this point, the cruise lines are mostly hiring what we call fly-in acts. So it has to fit in your suitcase if you're going to bring it, or a trunk.
Yeah.
But not big illusions.
Can't bring a Koobzag or something.
But everything changes.
Yeah.
And they will once again, eventually, be like, we need Grand Illusionists to come and be residency.
At this particular time, for the most part, there are illusionists out there. But for this particular time in the industry, which is 2024 at this recording, most of the magicians that are working are not, are being flown out doing a short period of time, mm-hmm. and go back or go on to another ship. They're not resident on a ship like I used to do.
And you really need a residency in a sense to have all of the illusions, because, you know, they all take setup. They need to be sort of left set up. And that's another thing. You're only going to get hired on a ship that has a big enough stage and wing space to store that. A lot of the ships have invested millions of dollars into their production shows that require massive set pieces, which have taken up the storage space for the Grand Illusionist. But it, you know, again, trying to do a fly-in show on a huge stage, some of these mega ships have enormous stages. So trying to do, you got to be really good to fill up that stage. And I think eventually cruise lines will realize that and say, okay, we need some Grand Illusionist again.
It's a pendulum that swings. So it'll come around again. Probably in a couple
of years. I remember
Greg
Gleason doing big illusions, you know, for years.
Yeah. And he's not
cruises.
No. He's,
right.
He's going on with a pack of cards.
Yeah. Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. You got to be really good to fill that stage up, because not everybody can do that. And I think, again, maybe some of this message is targeted for younger performers, but 45 minutes, perform it everywhere you can. Get your flight time in before you go out, because you need to be ready to handle anything going wrong, technical stuff going wrong, anything, and you can still roll with it.
Yeah.
Because
you need to know it backwards and forwards.
Yeah, the show must go on, as I say.
Which leads me back to my second point, which is flight time. And when I said I don't have a laboratory anymore, back in the day, what I used to do always was, because I work the luxury cruise market, and that tends to mean I do one seating of the show. Most cruise lines, you do two seatings, which means there's, let's say there are 3,000 passengers on the ship. On your show night, you'll do two shows. So 1,500.
Say a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show.
Right. Yeah, because the theater only seats so many.
Right. Exactly. But on our ships, we do one 9:30 show.
Might be 1,000 people on the ship and they all go to one show.
Oh, I see. Sure.
Yeah. So we're literally doing one show, and then a couple of days later, our second show, one seating.
In the same theater.
So,
and that's it.
Our cruises might be 12 days long. So it's 12 days before I repeat my show again.
And you're not doing anything else in between?
We often offer some extras, like Fred has lectures and workshops.
I'll do a lecture on some of the the really interesting characters in magic, like, you know, Chung Ling Su and stuff like that.
We sort of offer it up and they use it if they need it. You know, it's
good. And I'll tell you how that happened.
Let me just say, it's good to be flexible on ships, because if there's an emergency and you miss a port,
which is what
having
happened.
Yeah, having Fred's lecture to plug in is something extra for the guests that they weren't going to get, but, you know, they missed a port, but now they get this.
We were talking to some passengers one day and they were asking me about magic, and I started telling them way too much history about magic. And Bobby says, you should really do a talk about this.
And yeah, because he's standing in the hallway for 45 minutes talking to people, and I'm going, there's so much information here.
And so out of the blue, the cruise director calls up darn near close to midnight and says, we're missing the port tomorrow and I have nothing on the schedule. Is there anything you can do? And I said, I can do a lecture on the history of magic. And she goes, you have that? And I said, I will by tomorrow.
The answer is yes.
Yep. And I did. I stayed up all night putting this lecture together. So that's what happened. But
and it's a great lecture, and it's something that, you know.
Well, it became a good time I read it. Yeah,
but
it
was so much interesting information. He's doing it on people that, you know, the audience doesn't know half of the people that he's talking about, and so it's definitely it's
a peek into our arcane secretive world.
Yeah, it's a little peek inside, and you know, he can address some of the questions that he gets asked a lot.
And it's sad that some of those characters would be lost to history, those stories not told.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the story, or my point. It's not enough time for me to keep the act really tight. So what I used to do was I would come off those cruise contracts and immediately book into Magic Island, where I met you.
Right.
And where I would work darn near every night, sometimes
four times a night.
And I could tighten up all that material again.
Sure.
And work on new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also had the ability to come in during the daytime and just work that stage, just try.
There are more and more clubs around the United States. Yeah. I say clubs, you know, like Chicago Magic Lounge, Smoke and Mirrors, different places.
And those places are excellent, you know, sort of venues and avenues for people to do what Fred is saying. You've got to get that flight time and, you know, just book yourself into wherever you can to get the performance time before you try to leap onto a cruise ship and fail. You know, it's not easy. People think, oh, that's an easy gig. It's easy if you're good, you know?
Yeah. I always say right up front in our course, I say, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. I say that over and over again. And that's so true in the cruise industry. If you go out there and don't make a good impression, you don't get a second try. Mm-hmm. They just go, nah, that act doesn't work.
Right.
And they move on, because there are so many people trying to work in the cruise industry, so many entertainers, magicians especially. So you don't want to try until you're ready. So go get ready. Go
But there will be people who are older, who do have experience, who feel like they're in their 50s or 60s and I'm ready to go work a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. Would you say there is a good opportunity for those people, or are you saying that they are near the end of their shelf life?
That's a funny question.
I think they have to have, if you're older, you have to have a proven track record of success already. Mm-hmm. You couldn't be a 50 or 60 year old performer who had never really worked a big stage. And then, because the problem isn't once you're on the ship, the problem is getting an agent,
right,
and getting the booker to book you. They need to see you on their big stages with audience participation, sure, with the audience. You know, we try to teach people how to do this a little bit and walk them through sort of how to get the booker or the agent visualizing you on their ship.
Yeah, our course could help with that. But the short answer is having things like, you know, Penn and Teller on your credits would help. That those kinds of resume enhancers really open doors.
If you have television credits.
Yes. Yeah. And if you, let's just say that you're, you know, somebody who, you know, you're Matt King, you know, he's going to get, if he wanted to go work on a ship, he's working on a ship. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you have a proven track record of success, you've been performing, and I don't mean you have to be as successful as Mac. I'm just saying, if you've been working consistently on the big stage, you just never really done ships. Sure, if you're 50 or 60, you could get a job, but you've got to get the agent. So,
well, that's not far off. I mean, it was a couple of years back. I got on, I think it was a Holland America ship, and you know, Jeff McBride was on 2 weeks before. So yeah. it's not like mm-hmm. name acts aren't working.
No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Though
I name acts among
my point
us.
Was my yeah. point was but, you don't have to be a name act if you're 50 or 60 years old. But let's say you're 50 or 60 and you've been working the corporate market successfully for 25 years. You've got a great two shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Sure. Of course you could get hired.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to say, they're 50.
No, it's an easy transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me go then in an obvious direction here as far as assistants. And you're more than just an assistant because you sing. And that's kind of how that you met, I guess, on the ship to begin with, because yep. you were a singer and you thought, oh, gosh, she's not only got a great voice, but she's a wonderful human being and beautiful woman. So things worked out then with you. But then you later started working and being a box jumper and assisting in different ways. Are you finding as you get older that there is a point in which you're thinking, okay, Fred, this is all on you. I'm done helping.
Yeah, or? I mean, I kind of thought that from the beginning, honestly. We always joke that I never really wanted to be in the show. I just wanted to be with my husband.
Sure.
So it was the path of least resistance. They took production shows off of the ship that we were on. I was in the production show and he was
and
the magician.
I had a lot of illusions.
He had about 17 road cases on that ship. Lots yeah. of illusions. And so he was always using a dancer. Well, at some point they pulled the production shows off as cruise lines do. They reinvent the wheel. They're always trying to come up with something new. And so they took production shows off and thought, well, we'll just have a bunch of guest entertainers. We'll just do variety every night, which would be great for guest entertainers. But the masses sort of revolted. The guests were all like, what? Where's the singing and dancing show? But for a while, you know, Fred was able to say, well, not just able to say, but he needed an assistant for those 17 road cases of illusions.
Sure.
And so I joined his show as a way to sort of be with him. But I just said, you know, I'm not going to do this forever. Like, eventually you've got to get, you know, somebody else to do this. And then it just never, never worked out that way. Before long,
turns
you know,
out you're pretty good.
I started, singing in the show and stuff. But we were discussing that again off air a little bit in that. I have for a while, I don't think this is a secret to anybody who knows us, sort of been trying to get out of the show. I still want to be with my husband and travel with him, but it's a lot of going and I love my home and I want to be home a lot more. But also, I think you have to figure out your place at a certain age. I don't know what age that is. Everybody ages differently. People age gracefully, but we can't deny age. And there will be a time where I don't feel like the, you know, sort of sexy assistant. We have jokes built into the show that, you know, is me stealing like the guy's focus because he's following me off the stage or whatever. And we do things to get them to do that. But when they stop looking, you know, I mean, not to be, you know, I'm just very self-aware. I'm like, look, they're not looking anymore. I'm clearly not as hot as I once was.
You're not the misdirection you used
to be. Yeah, not the misdirection I want, you know, if it happens once, you just have a really loyal husband who's not going to look at some woman walking past him. I don't know. But if it happens 2, 3, 4 times, you know, I have to say like, okay, there are things about aging that are just not working. So either I have to shift my character on the stage, our characters together, or just say like, Fred has always had a successful show and he can continue to work forever because he can reinvent. He could be any age and be who he is on stage because he's himself. But for me, the assistant, I think we have to reinvent a little bit. And so it.
So you see at some point perhaps that he may have to have, and I'm asking you this also then, Fred, of getting another assistant. She could come along still and be your cabin mate, but you're going to have someone else. Or do you think that the old and young dynamic might be too creepy.
Those are strange waters to navigate.
I don't think we've ever been interested in having another assistant necessarily.
Not unless it was like just a flash thing, you know, not for the crew's work.
I don't think, I think some magicians
for
have
corporate
egos.
Work and we needed like illusions
right.
done.
Do you go out on corporate work just one off, just you?
We do. No.
One?
Well, yes.
Or do you go together?
Mostly, no, we go together. And like, so I had ankle surgery and we used basically our niece as our box jumper.
I would think, over the years that you would probably have had a lot of injuries.
We've explained, all of my injuries are related to snow skiing, but not necessarily illusions, but.
Well, that's why I stand as an aside, I was talking with a couple of people who have worked in South Lake Tahoe, and I said, this must be great because you're booked for a year working at this hotel back when they had like TV magic. Anyhow, it was at Caesars, but I said, because you can ski or you can do whatever, and said, no, our contract says we cannot ski because if we break our leg or whatever, then we can't perform.
And that's always been a tricky thing because we want to live our lives and we're both adventurous and we love those kinds of things. You know, we scuba dive and we snow ski and that's how we live. Yeah. So if anything, if it said you can't do that, I'd be like, well, then I don't want the job that bad. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a risk and it's been an inherent risk, but also, you know, again, Fred can work. We do still do corporate shows together. I've done a handful of illusions, but I also think some people have an ego about this and letting certain things go. They want to be, 70 years old, still doing these grand illusions. Mm-hmm. And that's just not like, I don't think you have an ego about that. You can let those things go and reinvent yourself because you have creativity. You want to become something new.
Well, a couple of things. I go out and do some cruises solo. Just because.
But not the big illusions, I'm assuming.
No.
He did it for me because I said, it's too much going and I don't want to go that
much.
I'm
like,
much.
I'll take this one.
Mm-hmm. So he just goes.
And there's one cruise line I work that they just only want to pay for one flight.
A lot of cruises are struggling after COVID. So
and
they
did they
are,
keep you for
yeah,
a long time?
Their budgets are tight.
No, just one cruise.
So it's not like just for a 10-day period or something?
Yeah.
It's not like for a six-month period.
I've got one coming up. I fly to Iceland and then fly home from Greenland, I think. So.
And he's doing that alone because they just said, one ticket.
It's like 10 days, I think.
He's done it a couple of different times for this particular cruise line. But yeah, here's the key. Fred's show was successful before he met me. And so the challenge for us was actually fitting me into the show. I have to make sense in his already existing good show.
So I always, for me, anyone who comes on stage is a character. I don't want an assistant that's a prop. Mm-hmm. Like that always kind of bothers me. So, to answer the question about Bobby aging, let's say, or changing. That's to me, I don't mind that. I just, the character changes. We just go, okay, well, what does that mean now? That,
she dresses age appropriate.
Yeah, that's a different character now. So what do we do with that character? And maybe that means we hire a writer or a director that looks at it. Which I'm a big believer in. I've hired a lot of directors through the years because you can't see it. When you're on stage, you can't watch yourself. And even if you video it, you're still watching yourself, which is weird. You need a
third party.
Yeah. Somebody objective to watch it because they're going to see something you just don't see.
Sure.
So that's huge advice that I think a lot of people don't do.
But you can, it's sort of, to answer the question though, Scott, is that I'm okay walking away.
Yeah.
I don't need a director to decide what happens now that, I'm 50 years old. My vision for myself is I go and support Fred. And as long as he wants to continue to perform, if he wants me packing stuff up backstage, I will. He probably wouldn't get another assistant because, as he said, he doesn't just use box jumpers. The reason he wanted me in his show was because of my character, who I am, mm-hmm. who our what our relationship is. It's not easy to plug someone in
when
that
I was
can
using
replicate
dancers
with our,
on the ship. People knew the girl as the dancer on the ship,
right?
And I'd say, "Hey, I asked Carlene, to come help me with this trick," and they went, oh, "Okay,
that makes sense."
Yeah,
but I think that's the other thing, though, is you know, being a married couple in magic, a successfully married couple, not divorced. You have to hear each other when someone has needs. And Fred was good about saying, I know it's a lot of going. I like it going and I can hit him. He likes going. So he would go. And when I said it's too much, he said, well, you don't have to always come then. And
well, it had to be difficult whenever your children were born, I would think then also. Maybe did you stay home or?
Well, they're my stepdaughters.
Yes.
So
they were still, were
they
young?
They were still young. And we lived in the same place as their biological mother. And so, and we had a really good relationship. So we just kind of said, hey, when we're home, we have the kids.
Well, we took off all the summers and holidays, mm-hmm. which was, so we'd
because they were in school.
We'd work during the school years. So,
and also we've had so many, were never gone that long. Like we go for a week, 10 days, 3 weeks max, and then we're home again.
Yeah.
So
for how long?
We
to
were
another
never,
2-3 weeks? Or a month, or how long were you at home?
It would just vary, you know.
Oh, and we took the kids on a lot of cruises.
We took the kids on a lot of cruises, They've been, they're well-traveled now. So, but I think Fred's been talking recently about, you know, sort of his creativity juices are flowing again, and he's in that sort of reinventing era, which lines up really well with me saying, you know, 5 years ago, I got a calendar, and I said, at the end of this calendar, I'm done. No more illusions. No, I didn't foresee a broken tailbone and an ankle injury. But, you know, I kind of said, that's when I'm done with the illusions and stuff and the going all the time. And then he said, we have to add on more time because of COVID. Because COVID
get those 2 years that were robbed
from
you.
The beginning of that 5-year calendar. But you know, I sort of said to him, like, you know, what does your future look like for you? What are you going to be on ships until you're 70? What does it look like? So we've had those conversations.
Yeah, it's interesting because I always contemplated that years back. And now, physically, I feel like I could still do anything I could in my 30s. So, which surprised me. I didn't think I'd still be doing some of the things I'm doing now. So, you know, I'm still riding that wave.
Yeah, and you know,
sometime your body is not going to, I mean, your mind is going to win. Oh, I'm sorry, your body's going to win over your mind.
Right.
In which you think you can do this, but your body's going to say, no, you really can't.
Yeah.
I would say that was another perk to the pandemic was for the first time ever, we were home for 2 years and could go to a gym consistently. People might think, oh, well, you have gyms on the ship. Yeah, but you also have beautiful places. So you don't want to be on the ship at the gym. You want to be off in those places. So for the first time ever, you know, we both started, you know, cycling and rowing and yoga and all of these things that we just joined all these studios and we actually went.
Yeah.
And so Fred, I
got in the best shape of my life.
Right? Yeah. So he's feeling pretty good. But I've said, you know, what does retirement look like for us? And I think to some of it is what you were talking about, the younger people, but more for fun, not for creating a new show necessarily, but to go to all these magic lounges all over the U.S. and either watch people perform or, you know, because we did a 3-week road trip and did the national parks and all this. And we're like, you know, we've seen a lot of the world, but man, there's a lot of the U.S. we haven't seen. So we've discussed reinventing and doing that. Let's
working RV parks.
Putting a, well, him putting
I've
a show
done some
together.
Of those. They're great. Yeah. Great audiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But
they're,
you know,
they're kind of star for entertainment, I think, as well. It's kind of like, I think, if you go to senior citizens communities, like where I live and in Georgetown, which is over 55 community, and they have a lot of people who come in who are younger people and some people who are retired who happen to live in the community, who used to be full-time gig workers. And it's like, I still want to perform. I want to play with my band and whatever.
Yeah.
So there's always some entertainment. And
well, I was sponsored by a company that made RVs, and they would send me around the country.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they had these
jamborees, I think they called them. And man, they were great. But they were huge. They put up these giant stages and stuff.
And paid well, as I recall them, too.
Yeah. They were great. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I've been trying to get you to talk about what you were talking about at Magic Live, which is...
Yeah. So, in fact, not to get way off the cruise topic, so I'll relate it. I went in and did one of the smaller theaters around the country. It was Eric Olson's place, Wizards.
Which, Wizards, down in Orlando.
I think is closed now.
Kissimmee, it is closed.
Yeah, after COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's a 50-seat place.
Very intimate.
So I went in and did kind of my cruise act.
Really?
And it felt too big for me.
For that size.
I was like, whoa.
Venue, okay, goodness. Yeah. Wow.
And I realized, okay, I need to retool. I want to, the show went fine. And it was fun to do, but I thought, wait a minute, I used to work these kinds of places. Like when I was young, I used to do this number of people in
the size venue.
Yes, and it felt great.
Right.
And now I'm used to working in front of 800 people, and when I'm powering down, it feels weird. I want to get back to this. I want to know what this...
And how'd you go about doing that?
Well, I'm still working on it.
John Armstrong just gave a talk on this recently in which he was going the other way around, going from close-up to parlor.
Yep. I know. I wrote to John because I got his book and I started reading it and I wrote to him and I said, this is so funny because I'm actually...
going the other way.
Yeah, well, heading in the other direction.
And it started, it's all been a culmination of things, but me saying... I don't want to keep going so much. Let's do a handful of cruises a year and that's it. But let's go around the country and see all these little magic lounges and you can either work them.
Sure.
With your new parlor show that you want to put together, or we can just go watch whatever that looks like for you so that you're, you know, so then I'm not, you know, it changes my role now. I'm basically... cross-country driver.
Well, I've seen more people, more magicians, let's say like Paul Gertner and a few others who have actually decided, I want to travel, I'm going to stay in town, spend more time with my grandchildren, and have the audience come to me and have just a one-man show kind of a thing.
I think ultimately I'd love to do that. I'd like to, you know, create that kind of show. But I think it would have to be done with flight time. Like I would have to find out what it is.
Right.
And I would do that by traveling around and putting it in front of live people until I go, okay, here's the vision for it. And then I could write it fully out and have that as that theatrical experience. Mm-hmm.
But you know, in addition to flight time, he needs time to create that show. And when we're gone all the time, you don't have that time. So it all becomes about time. He needs the time at home to do it. And, you know, I just need to be there to say, whatever you want to do creatively moving forward is fine because I don't have the same. I know a lot of people in magic, especially assistants. It's very important to them to be equals in the show. I think that's always been more important to Fred than me. I've never felt that.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's your show and I'm a part of it. And he didn't like that. He wanted us to be equals. Mm-hmm. But I think that is important for a lot of assistants. And I, you know, respect them for feeling that way and loving it the same way as their male counterpart.
I felt the same way with magicians. My wife as well. Yeah. And she said, no, this is your show.
Yeah.
And I'm here to assist you. But it's not about me. It's about you.
Yeah. And that's how I always kind of want it. And it used to be billed as Fred Becker and Bobby. Now we're billed as Becker Magic. I think it creates more responsibility too for me. And I told Fred I never wanted to be responsible for the success or failure of the show. It gives me a lot of anxiety. So I just want him to be fulfilled in his career because for Fred, it's not his career. I mean, and you know this, it's who he is. Mm-hmm. It's who you guys are. Mm-hmm. Magic, I think, is different than a lot of professions. The magician, a lot of times, that is them. It's hard to separate career from who you are. So, you know, he needs to be able to fulfill that for as long as he wants to fulfill that.
Well, so that kind of leads to, as we start to wrap up over here, about what your goals are. I've talked before about the importance of planning and setting goals and then following that plan to reach those. Those goals can change, obviously, as well.
Right.
As you get older, you may have had a different goal 10 years ago than where you are now, and things, or where you think you want to go 10 years from now. But as I said, to start to wrap up, what would be your plans and goals, let's say 5, 10, 20 years from now? As a cruise ship magician.
20 years, I hope to still be alive, I think.
Well, I sure hope you are, my friend. Me too. I hope I am as well.
Yeah.
We can have a martini together then.
Right. Yeah, I think immediately I'd like to create that new show. I mm-hmm. want it to be actually really different from what I've got now. So my immediate goals are artistic. You know, I want a new expression. And I've really just started to pull those pieces together. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. I'm like, just have a real desire to create. For the longest time, it was, you know, more about, I guess, the business side of it. It was more about, you know, growing the business, mm-hmm. expanding the business. And now it's more about, you know, the actual, not even performance of it. It's the expression, the expression.
And the creativity side of it.
Creativity.
I could see you as being a mentor, again, with the gigs on ships type of, tell me just briefly about this.
That's the second side of it.
That's what I was going to say, is that I think for Fred, things have to happen organically. For years, people said, you know, you wrote The Magician's Handbook, and it, you know, changed lives. People still to magic conventions come up and say, my life was changed because of this book you wrote.
Right.
So people wanted it reprinted. You know, when are you going to reprint it? And he didn't do anything with it because it wasn't that, he didn't feel called for that until he finally was like, it needs to be more than this book because technology has moved forward.
Sure.
And so I always said the
printed page couldn't tell the story.
And so now that technology caught up, you know, we did gigs on ships, and it basically—
So you can have online classes that you can plug and play, and listen to episode one.
Well, it's multimedia. I can actually now take people on a cruise with us mm-hmm. and say, this is how you rehearse your show. This is what the theater, this is what the backstage looks like. This is—
How you sign on and off of the ship and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
That could be really scary if you've never even been on a cruise.
Here's the
suddenly
tech
working
booth.
On one.
You know, here's how you're going to the lighting control area.
So you know more what to expect.
So you know what to expect. So you don't go in. Because honestly, most people fail because it's such a different environment than you're ever used to working in. Than literally any other job that you probably have as a magician, mm-hmm. when you get there, if you don't know how to conduct yourself the first time out of the gate, because you don't get a second chance to make that first impression, if you don't know what to do when you get there, and particularly like all your cues and everything, because you get an hour to install your show.
Right.
Yeah, and, so I touched on that earlier.
Yeah, they call it a rehearsal, but it's not a rehearsal. It's
a tech run, really.
It's a tech run.
But the Gigs on Ships is a 3-week course that—
It was supposed to be a nine-week course.
Oh, 9 weeks, sorry.
Three-part.
I meant to say three-part. And then we had a 10th week of bonus material. We were chugging along real well with that. We would take a group of students once, you know, twice a year, and we would really mentor. You know, we'd do the first part, and then we would have a webinar with all our students, and then, you know, the second part and have a webinar, and then we kind of had a little bit of a graduation, and then COVID happened. Mm. And it didn't feel right to do that during COVID because, we didn't know what the industry would look like moving forward, and you can't be an expert in something when you're not out there on it, you know? So we did our best to sort of keep information flowing and keep our students updated during that time. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, we haven't really relaunched because I was going to say the timing, once again, where he had Cruise Magician's Handbook and the technology changed. now we did gigs on ships. How many years ago when we first launched it? I've already forgotten. Mm-hmm. And it was successful for such a long time. And then COVID, it's now at that point again where it needs to be reinvented again a little bit. There's a lot of things that we cover in gigs on ships that needs updated.
Yeah.
Because again, the it's technology still a website. Has changed.
Something is still available yep. out there though.
So, oh, it is. Yeah.
GigsOnShip.com.
It's such a huge course. There's so much information there. It's ridiculous.
Is that correct? GigsOnShip.com?
Yeah. .org.
.org.
Yeah. .com is a sort of the sales site, but it's being rejuvenated right now. There's nothing on there that you can go to the .com. It will be soon, but right now.
.org.
Yeah.
.org is where you'll find the course. It's such an expansive course for us to go through and find where to update. It's going yeah. to take a while, but all the information is there
yeah.
to take the course. Bobby just means to like make it.
Where I might have been talking about an iPod, you know, in it or right. something. Mm-hmm. And now it's obviously you're not talking about it. Or here, make sure you have a DVD sleeve. Full right. of great stuff to watch. You know, we're not yeah, going to do yeah. that
business
anymore.
Card.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So there, right. some of that stuff needs updated. But I think again, my original point about this was that your creative juices, that was way in on you, and you were like, I've got to get this out. It's all like inside, and I need to just get it out. Which turned into a 9-week course that I, you know, was editing for him at the time and typing, and then was like, well, I have something to add. So then I started adding, but this was on Fred's heart. Now right. his new creative juices are flowing.
And but to back to your point, Scott, I really do enjoy mentoring people, and some of our graduates from Gigs on Ships are just killing it in the industry. They're doing so well. It's incredible. And I couldn't be, it might be the thing I'm most proud about.
It's your yeah. legacy.
It really is, and shockingly so. When people come up and tell me what they're doing, it just gives me chills. I can't believe how good they're doing, and people that put the work into it have done so great.
Yeah, I was going to say, Fred was always very modest when we were first together, and people would come up and, you know, talk to him about how he changed their lives with his book. And, you know, again, technology. Now, because of how technology is, we are actually seeing the fruits of Gigs on Ships, mm-hmm. the success of the students that have gone through. And we're on Facebook. We can see them posting their shows. And knowing that we had a part in that is very, I want to say, Fred is very humble, would never brag on himself or promote himself for this. So I can do that for you because, you know, I would say I'm 15% of Gigs on Ships. All the rest of it is Fred. But to see that success from those students is very rewarding. And not from an egotistical point of view, but of a act of service to know that the next generation of people that you sort of mentored are going on to have successful careers is very...
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very rewarding. And so I'm proud of him. I'm very proud.
The other thing that's been kind of fun, and Bobby and I are shockingly good at together, is we don't do a lot of is sort of directing or coaching some acts.
Mm-hmm.
And not every act we're able to do that with, but a couple we've been able to... coach, which has been, and we do that in a couple of different categories, but occasionally we can look at an act and say, okay, here's your niche, and here's what you need to say, or have you thought about it from this angle, and you can just watch their light bulbs turn on and they mm-hmm. go, oh my gosh. And it's so much fun to watch them now reinvent themselves and then sell it to an audience. That's another thing. We there's an act that we took from well, not zero to hero, but he started getting standing ovations, and when we're sitting in that audience, it's just electrifying.
That particular act when we first watched, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't really have to lie what I thought about the show, so let's just kind of avoid this act. And then it ended up, we bumped into him, and he was just such a great human being that we had to like him so much. And then we said, why is your personality not in your show at all? Hmm. And that is a very long story that eventually became us show coaching him and helping to change his show completely. It's his show. We just spent a lot of time coaching.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying earlier about the importance of having a director. You have to have someone on the outside actually looking in, and you need to have a third party who is giving you some direction then as well. Man, we've talked about just a ton of things over here and a lot to digest for people who are tuning in and listening to this episode. And I suggest perhaps they go back and re-listen to this again and maybe make some notes next time and take your pad of paper and a pen with you. So as a wrap up, I want to since the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast, what would be your individual thoughts as far as, not a word, but you know, what is your philosophy of life as your point, like right now in life?
My biggest philosophy in life was, which is funny to say now, when I was young, I never wanted to lay in bed at 50 years old wondering what if. So my philosophy was always go try it. Take the chance. Take the step. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Yeah, I think you've done that. I mean, my dad gave me similar advice when I was a young person. And I don't think that I've ever had overly lofty dreams and goals. Like, I never sought fame or anything like that. Faith, family, fun. I just want to exist in a world that is full of, you know, God, my family, my friends, and a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think Fred and I do that together. We travel the world together. We see and experience, and we'll live life to the fullest.
Spread joy.
And you share that
with others.
As long
as we can. Yeah. And try to put as much goodness in the world as you can, because if you view your life as an act of service to others, I think you get a whole lot more out of it than when you live for the ego of yourself.
Yeah. That's great.
Well put. Both of you, thank you very much. Appreciate your time and your words, your friendship. And this has been just a delightful conversation. So always look forward to spending time with you guys.
Yay. Love you, Scott.
Love you too. Thanks, so with the Magic Word Podcast, that was the Beckers, Fred and Bobby. Scotty out. Thank you, Fred, and thank you, Bobby, very much for your words, your advice, and your friendship. That was so interesting, and for those who want to follow your success at sea, they should make sure to check out your gigsonships.org, and they too perhaps can find smooth sailing among all these choppy waters. Well, next week we will not be having an episode because it's going to be Thanksgiving in the United States, and it's a time when a lot of people are going to be visiting with family and friends or traveling, and it is a time which I want to give you time to do just those very things. I want to also express my thanksgiving to you for listening to these episodes week after week, and also I want to thank all of my guests who are always coming on and taking time out of their busy day and schedule in order to share their thoughts and advice on the Magic Word Podcast. I also want to thank you in advance for helping me by clicking on the affiliate button that we have at the bottom of each of the pages. If you go to themagicwordpodcast.com, there at the bottom of the page, you will see a logo for we are an Amazon affiliate. And when you click on that, it takes you to your Amazon page, so this way that you can order something. And by doing that, we get a few cents back. So we would appreciate any help that you can give us that way. If you can support us with your financial donations directly, that would always be helpful. Become a friend of the Magic Word by pledging or donating. So whether you are a one-time donor or an ongoing donor, or if you want to be someone who can pledge on a monthly basis. Any or all of those would be certainly helpful. And let me also add, if you've just got a few minutes, it would be greatly helpful if you could go to whatever podcast platform you use and just give us a 5-star rating. We haven't had any ratings or comments in months and months. And so I know there are many of you who are listening out there who haven't done that yet. And if you haven't, and you're one of those people, if you've got some time there on Thanksgiving, since we're not going to be having an episode next Thursday, take a few minutes of your day and go out and give us a 5-star rating and some nice comments. That would be fantastic. Well, also, if you can subscribe to the Pod Letter, we seem to have reached a critical mass in which we're not gaining nor losing people on as subscribers for the Pod Letter. So if you go to the magicwordpodcast.com, there should be a little pop-up that will open up and you can subscribe to our Pod Letter and you can keep up with who's going to be on from week to week and who's going to be coming up next week, as well as if we have any contests, we announce those. And furthermore, we give you some suggestions from the archives. So until next week, let me just say, so until 2 weeks from now, I want to, again, first of all, wish all of our American listeners a very happy Thanksgiving this next week. And until I talk with you again in a couple weeks, stay well, get booked, and remember to keep your focus on faith, family, and fun. And just say yes to life's opportunities so you don't sit around in your old age and saying, I wish I would have done something. This is Scotty out.